thing.
Oh, sure. I turn it on, and then everybody shuts up.
So anyway,
Jean-Baptiste and supply-side economics, as we were talking about before, I mean, I think one of the important things to talk about there is really looking at the way the Alberta government has made, you know, pretty much, they got outsmarted by the Texans. Because, you know, of course, as we all know, when you look back in the 70s and Texas had the boom in West Intermediary crude prices, they funneled a lot of the tax revenue to diversify their economy, which is, of course, where Texas Instruments, how it became so big. Given the same opportunity here in Alberta, when there's obviously high oil prices, a lot of tax revenue, you know, Ralph Klein gave everybody a free, I don't know, what was it, $75?
$400.
$400. So everybody got to buy an ugly rug.
Pretty much.
Texas Instruments, ugly rug. And because, you know, back when the Klein bucks were coming out, Albertans' taste in rugs and pillows was not what it is today.
It's true.
That money would be used much better today for much more attractive rugs. But instead, everybody's house looks like some 1970s porn star's beaver. Because that's the rug they have. That's the legacy of Klein. Porn star beaver rugs.
We need to use that somehow, like at the very end or something.
But go Flames, go.
You can put that in there too if you want. Allcomic.com here at the 10th anniversary of the Calgary Expo. Put your shirt back on. I am sitting here with,
well, a now wearing clothes, Connor McCreary. I don't even want to say what I write now. Like, what's the point? If you can't imagine my nipples, it's like, I'm sorry for everybody out there. We were going to have a moment, and it was going to involve my relatively skinny, sallow chest and a surprising amount of, you know, gorgeous, luxurious red fur, but that's been taken from you. So thanks, Tyler. Thanks a bunch.
Hey, I'm not enjoying it at all now. I now that I got that image in my head, this is just not good anymore. It needs to happen. Just take the vest off. Let's go.
No, it's done. You had your chance. You had your chance.
All right, you know what?
You denied the sun.
We're just talking about your book now. You know what? Let's just talk about your freaking book and get this over with. What are you writing?
I don't even want to do.
You're writing stuff now. What's going on?
I am writing a couple of series right now. One is called Sherlock Holmes versus Harry Houdini. It's out through Dynamite Comics. It's a delightful mashup of Sherlock Holmes and Harry Houdini. It's actually set in around 1901, sorry, which is when Harry Houdini is actually doing his real life tour in Europe that is going to make him famous. Now, what happens in our story is he does what he would usually do, which is he goes to the major police station, so Scotland Yard in this case, and he escapes in front of many people and, you know, drumming up interest in his show. So as Houdini is doing this escape, this voice comes from one of the prisons, mocking him for thinking that he's something special and telling him that a child could figure out how he'd done this escape, and then proceeding to break down exactly what that escape was. Into the light steps, of course, Sherlock Holmes. Now, I won't tell you guys why Sherlock Holmes is in jail, but I will tell you that Holmes and Houdini are kind of thrust together to deal with what seems to be a series of supernatural powers that are going to commit a series of murders at Houdini's shows. As you can imagine, neither Houdini or Holmes are too like, oh yeah, sure, it's supernatural. They don't believe that stuff. So they're going to work together. The problem being, neither one of them is all that good at the Watson role. So, yeah. So that's one of the things I'm working on. The last issue's coming out, I guess, in about 3 days from the end of Calgary Con. So I guess that's Wednesday the 27th or something? 23rd, yes. And the other thing I'm probably more known for, which I write with Anthony Del Col as well, we both write these series, is Kill Shakespeare, which is sort of Game of Thrones and Shakespeare in Love's illegitimate baby. Yeah, so those are the two series. We're just going to start a fifth book on Kill Shakespeare, putting the finishing touches on some of the extra material for the trade for Houdini. We will soon be announcing, it, hopefully, fingers crossed, another work-for-hire gig based on a pretty cool video game property. And, yeah, both myself and Anthony have a couple pitches out there that we're going to hear it be announcing soon as well.
Are you planning to follow up your Houdini and Sherlock Holmes series with anything else? Are you going to see how the trade works? Are you just like a one-and-done kind of thing? Is there any other...
We'd love to. I mean, we had a lot of fun playing with Watson and Houdini's wife, Bess. So we'd love to do some more and really flesh that out. I think part of it will probably depend on how the trade does. And, you know, we did it with Dynamite, so ultimately it's Nick Barucci's call. I know he's a big Holmes fan, so we'll see. We've told him that we'd love to do more. Hopefully we'll get a chance, but right now nothing's firm either way. I know they're gonna put out the trade, and then we'll see.
I remember meeting you here, I think, 3-4 years ago now, when the first trade of Kill Shakespeare came out. Obviously, now you got four. You're working on a fifth one. Are you putting the fifth one out as just a trade? Or are you still going to do singles through IDW? I know IDW seems to like a single version and then trade, like they're doing with Ryan Ferrier's Dave, right? It was just supposed to be a trade, and then they're putting singles out and whatnot. So how was that?
We're going to actually talk with our editor, the amazing Tom Waltz. What up, Tom? We're going to be talking to him next week to figure out how it's going to go. I think right now, yeah, they're leaning towards doing some singles. I think we're actually going to play a little bit with this as an anthology. We're going to bring some other amazing creators in to play in the Kill Shakespeare world. And it sounds like everything, you know, this is a bit of a scoop, but it's not a for sure scoop. But it sounds like what we're going to be doing is getting people to take some of their favorite Shakespearean characters and kind of explain what happened between the end of their plays and where our world begins. So a lot of sort of backstory stuff. So for existing fans, you can find out sort of the stories behind the stories. And if you were new to Kill Shakespeare and you're like, oh my gosh, there's four books, I can't pick up this fifth one, this is actually a pretty good place to start, because you're going to get a taste of what this whole world is about. And also probably get to read some stories by some of your favorite creators.
Do you have like a long-term plan then to continue after that? You have a board game out, you have a TV show in the works. It's like it's going everywhere. Do you have a lot more ideas for this series to continue? Do you have a finite ending?
No.
No.
Gotcha. We have no ideas. We basically used all the good ones. Well, I mean, Shakespeare only gave us so many. I mean, it's really Shakespeare's fault, right? Because obviously we're taking this guy's ideas. And if he came up with more good ones, we'd have more good ones to steal. But the guy is like, I mean, honestly, he's kind of a hack. I think we can all admit that, right? Shakespeare? I mean, come on. It's this obvious phallic reference. I mean, come on, dude. If you're going to play blue, be talented. We'd love to do more. I mean, that's a great thing about Shakespeare is there's so much awesome. I mean, I'd love to bring Hamlet back to Denmark. I want to see, like, what happens when he gets back and he faces Claudius after everything that's happened in our series. Does he still want to kill this guy? Or is he a different person now? How does someone like Claudius or Ophelia deal with, you know, because remember, in our world, Hamlet hasn't gone back. He hasn't killed, you know, Claudius. Ophelia maybe hasn't committed suicide. Laertes probably isn't dead. You know, Polonius is still dead. So, I mean, there's all these unfulfilled desires and anger and love that Hamlet just hasn't tied off. So what happens if he comes back? King Lear is somebody we haven't used. We'd love to use him. Cat from Taming of the Shrew. There's so many great characters. So yeah, I mean, as long as people still want to read them, I don't know if we could run out of stories. I'm sure at one point we'll want to hand it off to somebody else to let them, you know, who have a fresher idea. But I mean, we've done this for 5-6 years. I could easily see doing it for another 10 or 15, you know, if people want them. Somewhere the comics universe is going, no!
Describe the game. How did that come about? How do you, you know, how do you get involved taking a story like this and making a board game? How, you know?
Well, the first thing, Tyler, is you are immeasurably talented. And so we found those people and got them to make the game. It was a couple guys, Thomas and Wolf. There's these two Belgian game designers. I'm not going to try to pronounce their last name. Sorry, guys. They've designed a game called Yedo, and IDW is starting a games division. And IDW really wanted to make, they didn't want to make casual games. They wanted to make, you're a game player, you're going to come to IDW and find awesome games based on really cool intellectual property. So they hired these guys, and they designed an amazing, if you're the kind of person who wants to sit down for 90 minutes or 2 hours and get lost in a game that just gives you so many strategic options, Kill Shakespeare is totally your baby. It's what's considered a semi-co-op, so it's up to 4 players. You guys all have to work together to defeat Richard and Lady Macbeth. You're basically trying to start the revolution. Now, in a co-op game, you all lose together, you all win together. In a semi-co-op like Kill Shakespeare, you all lose together, but one of you wins. So you're always incentivized to help the team, because you'll lose if you don't. But at the same token, like in a real revolution, only one of you is going to be remembered by history. And you want to be that person who's the face of the revolution, because the story of the game is you'll be the one who gets to go to Shakespeare to get the one thing you've always wanted as a reward. So when you're backstabbing, you're doing it for an intensely personal reason that matters to you. And we've had a lot of people play the game where, like, it ends up being a bit of a role-playing game, because you get into your character, because you know if you're Juliet, this is about this one thing you've always wanted. And some of our characters, if you're playing them, they might actually win the revolution to save Shakespeare just to kill him for their own purposes. So it's pretty crazy. It's a lot of fun. It's definitely a game that you need to sit down and, like, dedicate some time to. But if you want a game that you could play, honestly, probably for the next 10 years and have very few similar experiences, this game is designed so intelligently that you can do that. It's amazing.
Yeah, that sounds like a really in-depth game.
It is. It's really cool. The guys are so brilliant who design.
Not just like Shakespeare Monopoly or something.
No. The guys who design it, they're so brilliant. So yeah, it was really cool. It was so exciting to get to play it and to see it. It's a real highlight. We still love action figures, but board game is pretty badass.
As far as the TV show goes, how involved are you and Andy in that process? Is it kind of like here's our story, you guys, you know, make something cool, or are you like writing it as well? Are you working on it? How much involvement do you have on something like that?
Who told you about TV?
You did. You told me about TV.
That seems unlikely. Really? Was I drunk? Had I been eating cheese? I'm lactose intolerant, actually. I have a problem. I'm like one of these weird people who has a beard and even less hair, who walks around swooning about, oh, my lactose issues. Does that sound like anybody you know? Goulet?
No, not at all. No, okay. I have no idea who you're talking about.
I may have been mistaken. No, so we can't say, you know, so we're at the stage where we have agreed in principle for a TV deal with a company down the States. I can't say anything because we haven't actually signed anything off. But yeah, our hope is that later this year, Anthony and myself will be co-writing a pilot with an established Hollywood TV writer to build Kill Shakespeare as a television show. So we've been really fortunate. The people we're going to be working with really like us. They really think that Kill Shakespeare is an amazing world. And, you know, from the first, you know, you kind of hear these horror stories. I mean, we've never optioned anything. I've worked in film and TV in another capacity, and I have had TV shows optioned, but I've never gone through something like this. And, you know, you talk to guys and gals in this industry who have way more experience than we do, and they're like, all right, well, watch out. There's a lot of kind of negative things that might happen. And we've been lucky. Everybody we've spoken to has seemed to really say that, yeah, you guys have built something amazing. You guys know this world better than anybody else. And you need to be part of this. And we've always said, yeah, we want to be. But we both know, Anthony and I, you know, we know that we can't make TV. We haven't done that yet. So to give us a show, for us to be like, oh, we've got to run it, that would be suicide. So, and yeah, hopefully Andy Belanger, the artist, because you're mentioning him too, we're really hoping that Andy B is going to be part of designing the show and everything. That would be really exciting. So, yeah.
It's always good when they get everybody collectively, you know, same vision across the board. A little birdie told me there's a certain Viking book you guys might be working on. Anything you tell us about that?
I cannot tell you anything about that. No, I can't say a word.
Just other projects, other secret projects.
I know
may
nothing.
Or may not involve.
I know nothing. I actually don't know anything.
Nothing.
No.
Not a word.
No. Not a word. Nothing.
Fair enough.
My word is Viking.
And fubar.
And lactose.
That sounds like the best story ever. First lactose Viking.
So he's a Viking made of lactose?
Yes.
All right, you run with it, Goulet.
And this is my story now. Where can we find you on social media?
You can look for us at Kill Shakespeare on Twitter, Kill Shakespeare on Facebook, killshakespeare.com on the interwebs. I also have a personal Twitter account at Connor McCreary. Andy B is just at Andy Belanger, and Anthony he mostly hogs the Kill Shakespeare Twitter. But yeah, that's kind of how you can find us, and please do. If you like Kill Shakespeare, you have any questions. And if there are any teachers out there listening to this, we are going to be releasing in about 5 weeks the first two books, which is one big story, hardcover annotated. So every Shakespearean reference we make is going to be teased out. So if you are looking for something to either introduce your students to Shakespeare, or you've got a bunch of really gung-ho, you know, grade 11, grade 12s, first, second year university, we've got a teaching guide, we've got an amazing project, and we'd love to hear from you. So teachers, reach out to us. We want to make your life with Shakespeare that much easier.
That's really, really cool. Awesome. I appreciate taking the time.
No, thanks very
much.
All
the best of luck. You're always fun to talk to. A little weird, but, you know, it's always fun. Huh. And you do your best.
I'm way more normal when I can just be free, you know, when I'm not encumbered. When the sun dapples upon this chest, life's just more normal. Come on. You know.
I don't blame you. Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.